Yeah, it is. And this series is over. What up? Welcome into, well, the Jim Rome Show, but it's Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff sitting in for Rome today. So happy to be in the jungle with you and got a lot of fun on tap. But the series is over.
It's one game, Maggie. It's one game.
I watched the game, though, and I saw basically the Nuggets not even playing to the highest level they can possibly play. And Miami was not good on the offensive side. The defensive game plan was all wrong. Everyone knows you can't double Joker. You double Joker, all he's going to do is find every other open player. And then he even got his, you know, scoring-wise. There's nothing the Heat are going to be able to do.
Let me read you some numbers here. Caleb Martin, 1-for-7. Caleb Martin, the same Caleb Martin, the torch boss and torch the entire Eastern Conference. And Max Strus, 0-for-9 from 3, 0-for-10 overall. If 40% of those shots fall, it is a tight game. So I do not think the Heat shooters are going to be this bad. If they just hit their threes, it's at least going to be competitive. You can't say it's over.
Well, okay, they were terrible from three, but that's probably because they're tired. They're playing at high altitude. They were just the ones coming off the seven-game series. Meanwhile, the Nuggets could have been in Cancun this entire time. Anyone who thought they were going to have rust from having a nine-day layoff, total opposite. They were fresh, rejuvenated. They are just the better team, and they're hitting their opponent when the opponent is at its weakest. I don't even see how a big Jimmy Butler game actually gets the Heat back into the series.
You know, I'm not sure it's the legs as much as nerves. I mean, Max Strus, undrafted, you don't think he was nervous for game one of the finals and that they'll settle down? Caleb Martin, also, same thing, undrafted, Nevada. They had to be feeling it. Their shots were not all short. They were shooting long, which means they had legs. They were just off. I mean, come on. Strus is not going to go 0-for-9 again. So if they start hitting some threes, at least that pressures Denver. Denver only scored 104 points. That's a win for Miami.
Yeah.
And the zone worked a little bit in the second half. And they have Eric Spoelstra head coach. He'll make some adjustments. So if they can hold Denver to anywhere near that, they're going to score more than 93 points.
Okay, but see, that's the thing about the vaunted Heat culture. This is Heat culture. You can't be nervous for game one if you've got Heat culture. Heat culture exists to create confidence in guys who we had never heard of, who are undrafted, in some cases coming from a Division II schools. So you have to go in with maximum confidence because the Denver Nuggets in their 47-year history of their entire franchise were playing in their first finals ever. The Miami Heat have played in more finals since 2006 than any other franchise in the NBA. Yes, these guys might be playing in their first finals, but the whole organization is supposed to be what gives you the confidence. And Denver was confident. You would have thought they're the dynasty out there. That's what they look like. And to be honest, I'm not so sure that Denver might not be on the doorstep of a dynasty. It's early to say just one game. I understand it. But I'm looking at the matchup and the duo, rather, of Jokic and Jamal Murray. They're healthy. They're young. Who's going to stop these two?
It's one game of the NBA Finals. First of all, Heat culture also means that they're resilient. And after a loss, when everyone counts them out, they show up big time in the next game. Don't forget about that part of Heat culture.
Yeah, I guess.
And you know what? They're going to adjust and at least play better. Here is the problem. It's not the offense. They're going to hit these shots. They're going to make game two a lot closer. They're going to hit their outside shots. You know when I was a little worried about them?
when they tipped off?
When Duncan Robinson got posted up by Jokic. Oh, boy. I mean, there were some terrible matchups. They're really short, and they have major defensive problems. So I expect Denver to score more points, but I think Heat will score more points. As for this dynasty thing, Maggie, you know, they'll be the fifth champion. If Denver wins, they'll be the fifth champion in 5 years. There's no NBA dynasties anymore. It's the most parity-driven league right now, even as much as the NFL.
Okay, but in the, let's just say the Western Conference, you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who just got swept by these Nuggets, who are not getting any younger, nor are they getting any healthier. And I'm a big LeBron James person, but they're not getting any younger or healthier. They've got big decisions to make this offseason. You've got the Phoenix Suns, who already showed you that just Durant and Booker is not going to be enough.
They've had 10 games together. They haven't played it all together. We have no idea.
I know, but Durant's also not getting any younger or healthier. You've got the Golden State Warriors just lost the architect of their entire franchise, you know, if you want to believe that Bob Myers is going to have a big impact in all this. And also, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson aren't getting any younger. They have a decision to make about Draymond Green as well. I think it's just setting up very nicely here for the Nuggets. Like, the world is now being introduced more to Nikola Jokic, yep. realizing like what his genius is, and Jamal Murray is phenomenal. This is like Stockton and Malone. This yep. is Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, but better.
Let me tell you about a few other duos that looked like they were going to be a dynasty. Remember when LeBron and Anthony Davis won in the bubble?
Yeah.
That looked like a dynasty. Remember when Giannis and Chris Middleton looked like won the title and looked like a dynasty? How about, who won it last year? Golden State. Golden State looked like they were going to be back this year.
But they are a dynasty.
They are. Well, they were the old Golden State was a dynasty. I don't think this current Golden State's a dynasty. The West is going to be so competitive. You forget about Luka and where's Kyrie going to go and what are the Suns going to add?
Kyrie going
to
go?
Well, if he goes to Phoenix.
Really scraping the bottom of the barrel on that.
Bottom of the barrel. If Kyrie goes to Phoenix and you have Durant, Booker and Kyrie Irving. I'm sorry, that's a factor. I'm not a big Kyrie guy.
Yeah, because Kyrie and Durant went so well in Brooklyn. Proof's in the pudding. They got swept by the Celtics last year. Kyrie destroys every team he goes to.
Also, the Nuggets only won 53 games. To call them a dynasty seems premature because everything falls apart in this NBA. There's going to be someone completely new. Maybe the Sacramento Kings, Maggie.
Well,
do you think about the Kings?
We do love the Kings around here. Again, it is Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Maggie and Perloff, we generally come on right after Jim Rome on a lot of these CBS Sports Radio stations. A lot of fun to have today. Later on in the show, George Karl is going to join us. Speaking of Denver, obviously, coach 9 seasons there. Later on the show, Sean King, former NFL quarterback, is going to join us as well. Can we hear, EJ, a little from last night, sound from outside the arena? Now, this was a report, I believe, Stu, what was this, ABC 7 or something like that? All right. Denver 7, what the feeling was like outside the arena after the Nuggets' first ever finals victory.
It feels like victory, it sounds like victory, it smells like victory, and also legalization, and they're having a great time out here.
It's so the low-hanging fruit, but I love to see that, of course, everyone thinks that Denver is an entire city full of stoners, and I'm glad to see that they are living up to the characterization,
well,
or stereotype even.
Yeah, as usual for me, I decided to jump on the Nuggets bandwagon last night because I'm a bandwagon jumper.
Yeah.
It looked like so much fun there. First of all the Denver Broncos are there. You got Sean Payton, you got Peyton Manning, you got Russell Wilson. Then Dr. Ken Jeong is there, my good buddy. I've met him twice, and he's awesome.
Yeah.
Apparently he chartered a plane there.
Yeah.
It just looked like the best. Did you see anyone who wasn't smiling in Denver? Maybe we know why now, but
yeah, because they're all microdosing. I mean, I'd be smiling too.
But they
high as a kite.
They also acted like this team's going to win the title, which it probably is. But we'll see if Miami makes a game of a game two. Is it going to be more puffs of sorrow than this huge party in Denver?
Well, good thing that kind of particular piece of paraphernalia really works either way.
Yeah.
If you're feeling good or if you're feeling bad, but I don't see it. Now, before the series started, I picked the Nuggets in 5.
Mm-hmm.
We've since put a little extra on this series. We needed a bet, but we couldn't just make a straight-up Nuggets-Miami bet because the Nuggets are such huge favorites. That just wouldn't be fair. We didn't know how to handicap it. So instead, we've started another bet, and you're welcome to play along with us if you'd like at the Maggie and Perloff Show. How many games is this series going to go? So right now, Perloff has taken
4.
4 games.
I actually got stuck with 4. I didn't want to pick 4, but I was the last choice.
Okay, I picked 5. One of our big super fans and friends of the show, Nick in Texas, took 6. If it goes 7 games, it's the whole show is now in on the bet. And here's what happens. The person who nails it, who picks it right on the head, they're spared. They're saved. You win. You don't have to do anything. For everyone else who picked a different amount that the series would end, you have to eat spicy hot nuggets. Get it? Heat nuggets. Chicken nuggets, boneless wings. We're still kind of working that whole thing out. But the spiciest that exists,
right,
I guess, in the lower 48 states. I don't know if we want to expand the hot sauce.
Also, no water.
What? When did that become?
When I realized the Nuggets might sweep the series and I would win the bet, then I decided, you know what would make a great twist? If there was no water in these spicy Nuggets, that'd be a lot of fun.
Well, amateur hour, because everyone knows you got to drink milk if you're actually to put your mouth, extinguish that heat. So that's what's going on over at our show. If you want to play along, feel free.
It's not going to be a sweep. because Miami's going to get hot from three in at least one game, Maggie. I think you're in the best position with five.
I feel pretty good about five. The way I think it's going to go, Nuggets are going to take care of these two games pretty easily. I think they win game three in Miami. I think it's a backs completely against the wall elimination game, game four. That's where you see Butler heroics or, I don't know, maybe Denver waves the white flag a little bit, load management style, and then Denver wins it in Denver game five.
I like that scenario. I think Miami, watch out though. Miami will make this a game in game two. They're going to come out like a house on fire. I think they're going to be desperate. And, I mean, this is a team that has a lot of guts, Maggie. I mean, they are definitely outmanned. They're way too short to play this Nuggets team. I just think that Jimmy Butler is, I know with the ankle issue, but I think Jimmy Butler is going to have partially a Jimmy Butler game. I think he's going to take it at everybody, Jamal Murray especially. He was so hesitant last night. He was so passive. I think that Spoelstra is going to get into him and say, listen, you got to be aggressive or we have no chance.
It was ironic because the Heat actually scored a lot in the paint.
Yeah.
You know, they actually did, for all the shots and the threes that they missed, which they missed 26 three-pointers last night, they actually did score a lot in the paint. Yet, ironically, two free throw attempts. Two. The whole team, two.
Yeah.
And that's not aggressive. I mean, Jokic went 10 for 12 just on his own.
And I don't think they missed a lot of calls either. I know some Miami Heat fans are complaining on social media. I think it was a pretty good job by the officials. I think they called a couple penalties on picks that I didn't like, where guys would just fall all over each other. They didn't know what to do. But, yeah, the Heat need to get to the line because it's got to be Jimmy. It's all Jimmy. And when has Jimmy ever not responded in the postseason?
Oh, that's true. 855-212-4CBS. That's the number you can call to get in touch with the show today. It's a little bit different than Rome's normal number, 855-212-4227. You can also follow along on social media at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter, Maggie and Pearl off on Instagram, TikTok, Snapface, Chatface, all the other places. We're everywhere. We're even inventing new social media platforms just to put our crap on there.
Our TikTok feed's not great. I'm not going to lie to you.
Your daughter said that. Now, she's our social media director. She's 13, so perfect job for her.
Yeah, she is not a fan. She read me all the negative comments the other day.
Don't do that.
It was not good. There were, there were some nice ones. I'm like, well, why aren't you reading the nice ones? She's like, who cares about that? They were evenly spread. You know, a lot of people don't like me. A lot of people don't like me, but there were some people who didn't like you as well.
Is that right? Okay. I'm glad to know there are some people out there who didn't like us on TikTok.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All those 10-year-olds can it. It's not for you anyway.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't like me, just give the show a call. I'll take you on, I want to hear it to my face. Don't go on TikTok.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Okay, lot to do today, including we mentioned George Karl, the Hall of Famer, 9 seasons as the head coach of the Denver Nuggets. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with Jokic, Murray, and the crew. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, in for Jim Rome today on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Come on back. Welcome back. It's Maggie and Perloff in for Jim Rome today. So glad to have you. Coming off a fantastic game one from the Nuggets side of things. They're up 1-0 in the series, and we're so pleased to be joined by a man who coached the Denver Nuggets for 9 seasons. It was the longest stop in his illustrious coaching career, and that is George Karl, the Hall of Famer. Hey, Coach, it's Maggie and Perloff in for Jim Rome. How you doing today?
I'm good. Everybody in Denver is happy with the result, and the sun's shining, and spring's breaking, and it looks like the Nuggets, if they stay focused, it should be difficult for Miami, I think.
Coach, I mentioned you coached the Nuggets for 9 seasons. This is their first trip to the NBA Finals. If they do complete this and win the title, why would it be unique in Denver? What would it mean to that fan base?
Well, I think the fan base is actually pretty damn good, and the history of basketball is good in Denver. It started in the ABA. They got to an ABA final and lost in the finals to Julius Erving in the last year of the NBA of the ABA. And then Larry Brown and Doug Moe and Carl Shearer and David Thompson and Bobby Jones and Dan Issel and Tiki Vanderwit. The tradition here is great. We had a great run in the from 2007 to 2011, Carmelo and I, and along with a great run of guys, we didn't get to the finals, got to the conference finals once. And now Jokic, you know, there's kind of been different eras of successful basketball, but not championship basketball.
All right, Coach.
And the fan base has been very, very loyal. I don't know how many games that you've been in Denver to watch in person, but it's a very hot gym. It's very electric. The fans are into it. And the home court is an advantage. The home court is an advantage because of the fans, mostly. But altitude does play a role during the year. I think it plays probably more of a role in season than it does in the playoffs. But I do believe altitude does have an impact on the game.
All right, Coach, what's your best explanation for why the Heat were so off from three? Guys like Max Strus and Caleb Martin, who've been reliable, seem like they couldn't hit anything last night.
Well, the only way I can compare it is the NBA Finals, I think, is probably like going to Broadway. You know, you can be off Broadway, and you can be a really good actor, and you can be in movies. But the people who go on Broadway for the first time, I get a feeling they get a little stage struck. And I think that's what happened last night. I think you have a lot of young players that have had a great run, but now it's the NBA Finals. Now it's what they've grown up watching. Now it's being compared to Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas and David Robinson and Tim Duncan and Shaq and Kobe, and I just think they were shocked a little bit. I thought they were rushing their shots, and I think in the end, I think the only way that Miami can handle Denver is shoot the three ball well. And you know, last night I thought Denver's defense was spectacular. I thought Aaron Gordon early in the game set a physicality to the game that Miami never recovered from. And then you have this guy named Jokic that makes everybody he plays with a better player. He loves playing the game the right way. He doesn't have to score points to be happy. And he can dominate by his passing, which he did last night.
George Karl is our guest. He's the Hall of Famer joining us from Denver, where the Nuggets are up 1-0 in the NBA Finals. All right, Coach, you know Spoelstra is known for his adjustments, right? That he's a master tactician in this way. If you were to guess, what kind of adjustment do you think he's going to make for game two?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've been watching Jokic play for 6 years here in Denver, and I watch the vast majority of their games. And I have a lot of friends in the NBA still that call me, and they ask me the same question.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, I think you got to do it different ways. I think you're going to have to play, you know, you're going to have to play in different ways. And last night, I was kind of surprised that there wasn't more intriguing exchange in the game. I think. You know, I don't know if it'll end up with Jimmy Butler covering him or double teaming him more. I know most teams have always been afraid of doubling, and at the end of this year, there's a little bit of playing small on him. Philadelphia played Tucker on him, and it seemed to give him a little bit of trouble. But I'm going to be honest with you. Nothing has worked. And the thing that you have now, as Murray has moved into being an elite basketball player, he's always been close to being that, but he's become more consistent. And the people don't understand how good this team is in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, these guys are dynamite. The only comparison I can make to them in my era of coaching is when Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Terry would play in the fourth quarter in Dallas. The year they won the championship, their efficiency was like in the high 55%. But I want you to know, Jokic and Murray's two-man game in the fourth quarter is really, really good. And they really haven't had to use it that much in the playoffs. They've won the games before the fourth quarter, last five minutes. So I really believe if Denver continues to play defense like they did last night, Miami's in trouble, and Miami's then got to figure out what no one has figured out over the last 4 or 5 years is how to stop the OPG Murray.
Coach, last night on the broadcast, Mark Jackson said you got to turn Joker into a scorer, meaning cutting off the passing lanes. Can that work?
I think it can work, but I think you need more weapons than maybe Miami has to cover Jokic. When you say let him score, you're just saying let him play one-on-one. And I don't know if you let Bam play him one-on-one and get him in foul trouble, who do you go to next? They don't have a next. I think I was surprised that Kevin Love didn't get a chance to play last night. Cody Zeller's been a solid, good player in the league, but I just don't think that's a good answer. So, again, I think it might be a mixed match of different players, different concepts, and maybe some more zone. In the fourth quarter, the zone bothered Denver a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, the zone allows Jokic to be, you know, he'll get in the middle of that zone, and they'll get him the ball. And I don't think that's going to work a lot. And the other thing you got to realize, I thought last night the length and size of Denver was very obvious.
Yep.
The length, I thought, bothered all their scorers. I thought it bothered, I mean, Aaron Gordon is 6'9", 6'10", and I thought he bothered Jimmy Butler. And I just thought the length bothered everybody out there, including the challenges at the three-point line.
And that was a struggle for Miami. George Karl, the Hall of Famer, can't tell you how much we appreciate this, coach, getting to pick your brain on the X's and O's of this series. Enjoy game two. We'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, I hope it'll be a closer game. I think it will be, and I think Eric Spoelstra will make some good adjustments.
Well, we hope so. Yeah. We'd like to see a little bit of some closer games. Thank you to George Karl, the Hall of Famer, as it's Maggie and Perloff filling in for Jim Rome today. I mean, this is what I said, the series is over. And it's not a disrespect to Spoelstra or to Miami Heat. Listen, I think they would, the fact that they're in the finals, even though they're not your average eighth seed, they have overachieved. They are just running into the best team in the NBA.
Well, the fact that Coach said that people around the NBA call him and say, hey, how do you stop this Joker guy? It's impossible.
Yeah.
If you're a Miami Heat fan and you were listening to that interview, I think you feel really bad right now because he obviously knows the X's and O's. There's no easy answer. In fact, there might be no answer.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. A little bit of a different number from Jim Rome, but you're welcome to weigh in. Anthony is in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He's got a thought on the series. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing well. How's my favorite two radio hosts?
You know, we're hanging in there. We were thinking about this. So Jim Rome has his fans who are called the clones, right? And full disclosure, I was a clone. I listened to Jim Rome, loved Jim Rome my whole life. But we have our fans are the Weedos.
Yeah, so we should be big in Denver, you're saying.
Well, not just that. Yeah. But I'm wondering, would the Weedos and the clones be more likely to get along, or would the Weedos and the clones clash a little bit? Because I think they have a similar recreational habits.
Oh, okay.
So I think they'd get along, Anthony. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, everybody gets along, especially when you're intoxicated. Sound like Coach was calling from the parking lot outside the stadium himself.
Well, yeah. How are you doing, Anthony? What do you think about the series?
I'm doing great. Listen, I think you got the bet in five. Perloff, I don't know about that four sweep. The only sweep that you're going to see with those Phillies against those Mets. How about that, buddy? How was that?
Oh, I was there in person, Anthony, and it's
terrible.
I know,
but Anthony, this is the thing about the Phillies, and you know this, and thank you for the phone call and for weighing in. The Phillies don't even start trying until, I don't know, August, late August. Meanwhile, the Mets try really hard in June, and then it really falls apart in, like, August and September.
Whatever. You lied to me.
Why?
You told me Trey Turner was going to be a great addition to this team.
I did.
He can't field. He's inconsistent at the plate. Oh, man. I'm so down on the Phillies. Watching them get swept, I think it's because I do the show with you, who is a Mets fan.
Yeah.
I've never hated the Mets more in my life. I'm sorry. I don't take, like, that personally.
But we're friends. That doesn't add up.
When the Mets win, especially when they beat the Phillies, you come in and there's a little extra smile, a little confidence.
There's no extra smile. There's
There's nothing. You guys confident. Don't notice this? I mean, when the Mets win, first of all, you have two different.
It's called shock.
You're a Mets fan?
I'm just surprised when they win. It's not a glint in my eye. It's pure, you know.
Yeah, but there's two different things. You're a Bills fan as well. Yeah. When the Bills win, you are such a diehard fan that you immediately start panicking about the next game.
Absolutely.
The Mets, you do like to lord it over me. Just admit it.
Why? Just because I sent you one innocent text message when you were sitting at the game saying, wow, things are getting interesting, when they weren't? Listen, I couldn't help myself. But I know the inevitable collapse is coming for the Mets, where for you, the Phillies just start gaining steam. And here's the thing. So people don't know us very well. Yes, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. Yeah. I'm from upstate New York, mm-hmm. born and raised, diehard. And you are Philadelphia through and through.
Right.
Except for when you bandwagon on every other team under the sun. But at your core, yeah. you are Philadelphia. And that's where you may notice, if you're watching us on CBS Sports Network, it might seem a little odd. Why would somebody who's so diehard Philadelphia, whose team was just in the Super Bowl, led there by Jalen Hurts, one of the young, amazing, up-and-coming, not up and coming, he's arrived, like yeah. one of the exciting quarterbacks in the league. Why would this person have a Carson Wentz poster sitting behind him? Carson Wentz. I mean,
Wentz in an Eagles uniform, his rookie year.
This is a blown up poster. It's a former Sports Illustrated cover from what year?
2016. It says the QB is out of Fargo and into the Philly Fire. I like that. Now, you know exactly why it's here, Maggie. Because when Jalen Hurts started playing well, I immediately said, Carson Wentz poster can't be in my house. Where is there extra storage?
yeah.
In the studio. So I put it here temporarily, but then it made everybody so mad.
Yes.
It made everyone furious.
Including me, because
which I enjoyed.
This is bad mojo for any studio, home, any space. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to remember the Carson Wentz days of the Philadelphia Eagles. That was a Nick Foles-led Super Bowl. It's all about...
Yeah, but at least they won the Super Bowl. Your half of the studio is all Bills stuff.
Well, but this is, like, iconic, you know? I got my Jim Kelly signed football back here. I've got all of my Buffalo stuff. I mean, that's just who I am. Carson Wentz, that's an era that needs to be flushed down the toilet. And we are going to destroy that Carson Wentz poster, and we're going to do it live on the show. The problem is we need a little bit of help. The goal is 1,000 new YouTube subscribers by the end of the NBA Finals, and we destroy the poster. I mean, really go medieval on this thing on our live stream, which we do 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern every day. Now, we're about 400 or so short.
Right, and if we don't make it, you know what happens.
Tell them.
Okay, the Carson Wentz poster becomes the foundation of Carson's Corner, a new area of the studio that I'm starting to honor famous Carson. So you'll have Carson Daly, Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
I think we'll interview Georgia quarterback Carson Beck. It is going to be amazing. It's going to be all about Carson.
Yeah, and that can't happen because we can't have more Wentz. We can't have more Carson's Corner. So I'm asking people, please. I'm not asking. I'm begging. I'm begging at this point. If you want to see this Carson Wentz poster just get completely and thoroughly and utterly destroyed on a live stream, we're talking about lighter fluid. We're talking about whips and chains.
Yeah.
We're talking about a shredder. Golf clubs. I mean, we're really going to do a number on this thing, but we've got to get to that number. Again, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Hit subscribe.
By the way, management specifically said no lighter fluid like five times,
I'm
Maggie. They sent an email even.
No, I'm working on it. I sent another email back to that email with a couple bullet points and a couple things from the fire safety director, and I think we're going to be able to pull this off.
Yeah, we'll see.
I've got friends in the building.
You better get 400 YouTube subscribers or there's going to be a lot more Carson Wentz in this studio.
We need your help. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Hit subscribe. We get one step closer to destroying the Carson Wentz poster. Okay, coming up, got a lot more to get to from the NBA Finals. Although the biggest story in the NBA right now might have nothing to do with what's going on between the Nuggets and the Heat. We'll explain what the commissioner had to say yesterday and why one All-Star is looking at a major, major punishment. It is Maggie and Perloff filling in for Jim Rome today. We're back after this CBS Sports update with our pal, Emmanuel Barbari.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So I'm Andrew Perloff. She's Maggie Gray. I'm a Sixers fan. I was thrilled that the Sixers got Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
But another name that kept coming up was Frank Vogel, former Lakers and former Pacers coach, and now he has a job.
Yep, he is going to take over the Phoenix Suns, according to Shams Charania. It's a 5-year deal, $31 million. Meanwhile, Monty Williams just got hired in Detroit, 6 years, $78 million, and Vogel's got the championship, which is interesting to me. Anyway, yeah. I guess it takes a little bit more. You got to put a little bit more cheese on the taco if he's going to go to Detroit. But Frank Vogel, it's funny because who was up for that job? Kevin Young was the assistant. Doc Rivers was up for that job. Frank Vogel is known as like a defensive kind of hard-nosed dude. Is that what Kevin Durant's going to want to play for?
Oh, I love this hire.
Really?
First of all, it's not Doc Rivers, which is a huge plus for them because Doc was not going to win a title in Phoenix. I don't know anything about the assistant, but Vogel, I think one of the things that he can do, well, we'll see, is DeAndre Ayton going to be there next year? Obviously, he didn't get along with Monty Williams. He looks lackadaisical all the time. If anyone's going to get any defensive production out of him, it's going to be Frank Vogel. And I'm not worried about it. The Suns can create offense anywhere. They need somebody to show them how to play defense. They have no depth either, so they kind of need a tactician guy. But it's a big offseason. To me, this is a huge win.
Listen, Booker, I'll give him credit because he is a star and like superstar adjacent and like basically right there, but doesn't seem like a guy who's got a massive ego or doesn't seem like he's, you know, a me first kind of guy. Now, so I don't think that'll be a problem. But what happened with Vogel with the Lakers? I think the personalities became a problem. And maybe Russell Westbrook, and that was never going to happen, and there was always going to be some tension just by virtue of Russ didn't play very well when he was with the Lakers, and that was just never going to happen. But like when you have a team that's got, you know, Kevin Durant, who can be not outwardly sometimes, but like, you know, this is somebody who I think has a lot of power. And how is that going to clash, or is it going to work well with a coach that just had a bad situation with big egos in L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, the thing in L.A., I mean, was Frank Vogel really in charge all the way? I think he'll have more control, actually, in Phoenix, even with Durant there.
Look at that what they LeBron's did, though, to get Durant, though.
That was LeBron's team in L.A., traded, and you know it.
But they traded half of their team for Durant and have four future first-round picks. I mean, Durant has a lot of power there. If he doesn't, he didn't like Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn, got him fired. He asked for either Steve Nash or Sean Marks to be fired. Like, Durant will make a power play if he feels he needs to.
He doesn't have any time here. Kevin Durant's at the end. I mean, he's got to win. He's 34. He's got to win a title right now. I'm sure he's totally down with this. He does not want a young assistant and an unknown. I'll bet you he's into this hire. I bet you they even consulted him. The new owner seems like he's player friendly. It's such a funny team because they're so top heavy. Remember they had that guy with the mullet, Jock Landale, who was coming in, and you and I were both like, wow, that guy's actually pretty good. But they need somebody. They need four more players so they can, you know, compete with basically Denver.
Yeah, and they don't have any draft picks to do it with. So it's going to be guys who are out there sort of in free agency or whatever. They're going to have to try to lure to come play with the Phoenix Suns.
Right. Well, and we'll assume Chris Paul will probably come back for one more year. That injury, actually, I know you don't agree with this. I think the Suns had a shot in that series against the Nuggets if Paul didn't get hurt. At least a chance. I mean, they won two games.
Yeah, they did. But again, their depth, even with Chris Paul, but the depth was totally decimated because of the Durant trade. I mean, they didn't have a lot of time to get chemistry together. I think that played a role. And I think the Nuggets are too good. And now you're looking at the Nuggets game one against Miami last night, and it was a walkover. I mean, Denver can even play better. Like, they had a lapse in the beginning of the fourth quarter where they're up 21 points going into the fourth. And they basically took their foot off the gas, and Miami got back into it with a couple Kyle Lowry threes. If they really wanted to, they could have really stomped out Miami last night.
Okay, but continuity means so much for a team like Phoenix. They did not have any experience together. They just got together. You know, LeBron said something interesting after the year. He said, you got to understand, the Lakers retooled at the trade deadline, and they had no chance to get to know each other. The Nuggets, this team has been together, you know, since they added Aaron Gordon, a couple years. So continuity is so big in the NBA. And I think the Suns are going to be a different team next year. I don't know if they'll stay healthy. That's a big, big if. But if they play together all year, I think with Frank Vogel, the coach, they're going to definitely challenge in the West.
Mm. I don't believe that Durant's going to be able to put together a full year. And even if he does, is he going to be able to stay healthy through four rounds of the playoffs? I just think that part of Durant's career is over. 855-212-4CBS. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff in for Jim Rome today. Let's hit Tom, who's in Michigan. Now, Tom is I think Tom's a fan of ours in the Maggie and Perloff show. Our fans are called Weedos. Jim Rome's fans, of course, are famously the clones. Tom, do you think the Weedos and the clones would be able to coexist?
Oh, Margaret, I think the Weedos can coexist with almost anyone.
That's and true. Yet,
I'm a huge fan of yours.
Thank you.
But that's why it pains me so to have to, well, so at my age, I thought the only feelings that I had left were just hunger and impotent rage. When you accused us Weedos of conspiring against you yesterday about the Carson corner, I had new feelings. Mm. I felt horrible shame and furious indignation. You're the queen bee, Maggie. Any Weedo worth his or her nugs would happily take up our tactical combat bongs against all who dare oppose you. And I'm looking at you, McLeggings.
Well, Perloff in his performance pants. Tom, just thank you all around. Fantastic call. So there was a moment yesterday in our chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, is where the Weedos really congregate every day at 3 o'clock Eastern time.
And the Purple Drankers.
And the Purple Drankers also. I can't forget those. Them, the subset of the Weedos. So I thought for a moment everyone changed their username to something about Carson, which is in support of Perloff and his Carson Wentz poster, which I am trying desperately to destroy. I thought the Weedos had turned against me and all went to the Carson's corner. It was a mistake. I was wrong. I'm trying to host a show and read a chat at the same time, and I got a little confused. The Weedos were always on my side.
We'll see about that. I think we have to put a new poll out there. Do you want... I don't care about the Carson Wentz poster. I just want this Carson's Corner thing. This sounds great. There's a lot of Carsons in sports. By the way, Tom says he's a big Maggie Gray fan.
Yeah.
Well, if he did some research, he would not call you Margaret, correct?
Oh, that's true. Yes. Not my full name. Full name is just Maggie on the birth certificate.
So Tom is claiming he's his ultimate Maggie Gray fan, and he's making up names.
Here's the do less research about me. Don't do a lot of research about me. I don't want you to do deep dives on the internet about me. I'm cool.
If you Google Maggie Gray, what's the first thing that comes up?
Me and Dolan. Got into a little owner, tiff with the Knicks owner. Not exactly allowed in Madison Square Garden anymore.
What do you think? I know it.
Yeah.
And so we always joke about what's the second paragraph in your obituary.
Yeah, this might be first.
I think mine is totally bizarre.
What do you get when you first...
I have two things that are way up there on the list.
Okay, first McLovin, as they called you at the Dan Patrick Show.
Yeah, but not even that. Okay. I think it's when I broke my glasses in that little box on the Dan Patrick Show.
So memorable.
It's actually, you can pull up, you know where you get GIFs on your phone? It's actually, there's a GIF of me breaking my glasses.
Yeah.
Or GIF, whatever you want to call it.
You're a meme.
But also, I went viral with my Andy Reid punt, pass, and kick Halloween costume.
It's such a gem.
Yes, where I basically dress up. I bought a full vintage Rams uniform and put a pillow on my stomach and was Andy Reid. And my, at the time, 5-year-old daughter was that little kid behind him. I don't know if you, everyone knows that image, but it's Andy Reid at 13 years old in punt, pass, and kick.
And he's double the size of the other competitors, the children that day. And he looks like a full-grown adult.
Yeah, it's great. It's from the 1970s, and they actually misspelled Andy Reid's name, A-N-D-R-I-E-D. It's great. So those are my two claims to fame. Mine are much more random than yours. Yours is quite serious.
Well, yeah. I mean, I definitely went after Dolan a little bit, rightfully so. But here's the thing about... this is why I'm kind of hoping this would never happen, but I'm kind of hoping at some point, like, you get in a little bit of trouble.
Okay.
Because it would be like a serious article. And then here's the photo we found from the internet, and it's you dressed as Andy Reid from the punt, pass, and kick. It's like, why is Perloff? How did he commit that white collar crime? It's like, who is that guy? This is the only photo we could find. Stock photo. He looks like Andy Reid.
Well, we did get in trouble recently as a show.
Yeah, well,
we didn't listen to management, and we did the peanut butter challenge despite health concerns.
It all hail to you. I bow down. Not only did you do the peanut butter challenge, you destroyed, crushed the peanut butter challenge, which was Perloff ate 14 ounces? What was it, 16 ounces?
16 ounces.
16 ounces of peanut butter. You had a half an hour to do it, and you were so good and so fast eating the peanut butter. You started on a second jar and almost finished that.
Yeah, and management told us not to do it. And I don't know, how did that leak out, or did we say it on the show?
Well, we just had a couple hurdles that we had to get through, which we eventually did, and our boss, Spike Eskin, signed off on it, finally.
Yeah, and what is management's stance on these spicy wings? And we have some other food-related challenges coming up. I don't know where they stand now, because I survived the peanut butter challenge.
Barely.
I don't know. Can you get injured with spicy wings? Because we're going for like the real
really
deal.
Really hot ones. I mean, I wasn't going to say anything until you just brought it up on the Jim Rome show. I mean, I was going to do a little beg forgiveness rather than ask permission, but now we're going to be in major trouble.
And are we doing it on the show? Like during the radio show?
I think we have to. I mean, you know.
I've never done a spicy challenge, and I'll be honest, I don't like spicy stuff.
Well, now you tell us. I mean, this is information that would have been good yesterday.
Well, no, it's good, because I think everyone wants to see me suffer. And if the Heat don't win a game, then I'm out. But if it goes to five games, you win.
Yep.
Six games, Nick in Texas, our loyal listener, wins. Seven games, we all do spicy wings.
Yep. And I think you are in good shape, though. You picked a sweep because you had to. You were picking third. You picked a sweep. And by what I saw last night from the Nuggets, I'd be feeling pretty good if I were you.
Would you consider a switch? Give me five. And you take four, because I feel like the Heat shooters are going to get hot.
No, I'm sticking with five. But you're in good spot with four. I just don't want to give up five.
I mean, Max Strus has to hit something, Maggie.
Does he, though? We barely had ever heard of Max Strus before. All right, coming up, the biggest question facing Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. We'll answer that. The one thing no one is talking about, Sean King from VSiN, Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Bucks, is going to join us next. It's Maggie and Perloff in for Jim Rome today, CBS Sports Radio.